ask for what your motto, your mantra, your aphorism will be for the new year. John, no problem lasts forever. John, my words for 2025 and beyond are do many small good things. Thank you, Fred. That's well put. A friend of mine over the weekend, Laura, said that I'm just going to do whatever I can and not worry about the big picture. I can't change the world. I can't change some of the large things that are stressful to me in the world, but I can be kind to a child. She's actually volunteered to be an advocate. I can do, just like literally touch individual humans in some way. John, I find embrace the suck to be helpful. It's both whimsical and it's instructive and helps me temporarily withstand momentary stress. Embrace the suck. Today is January 6th, of course. 4 years ago, we had that insurrection at the Capitol. 5 officers died after the riot January 6th, 4 by suicide. The day after the riot, Capitol Officer Brian Sicknick, who had been struck by a fire extinguisher and was sprayed with a chemical irritant, suffered 2 strokes and died. And then 3 days later, and then again a few days after that, and then 6 months after that, a total of 4 of the officers there that day took their own lives. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to preside over today's election certification. She said that democracy will march on. On January 6th, I think it's just helpful to continue to remember. Let's not forget the facts. 1,600 people have faced criminal charges. Of those, a little over 1,000 have gone to trial or have pled guilty. 800 have said they were guilty. 200 have gone to trial. And of the 200 plus that have gone to trial, only 2 have been fully acquitted. More than 140 police officers were injured. 4 protesters died as a result of the insurrection. Today, January 6th, is the day that the certification is taking place. Congressman Krishnamurthy, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what happens today, and will you play a role? Will you be in attendance? It happens in the Senate, right?
I will. It's going to happen in the House, and Kamala Harris is going to preside over this process, which is a poignant moment, obviously, for her as she certifies her own loss. A lot of us on the Democratic side approach today with a lot of mixed emotions. Sadness about what you mentioned, the loss of multiple officers, including to suicide, 140 injured, and just a dark day in democracy. And obviously, we're disappointed with the election result, but also we're proud, John, that we're here to certify the presidential election and have a peaceful transfer of power.
You said, I believe to the Washington Post, there was at least one publication you spoke to, and you said that it'll be an emotional day for you, huh?
Yeah, what did you say? Embrace the suck? I think there's going to be a lot of moments where you're going to, have a gulp because you remember what happened 4 years ago. You also know that Donald Trump is trying to erase the memory of that. You know that when he gets inaugurated, apparently one of the first things that he said he wants to do is pardon some of these insurrectionists. And that is a really bad place to go. All that being said, today we're here to certify the election. It's a great day in Washington. It's a snowy day, which I guess is not entirely inappropriate given kind of the mixture of emotions that we have today.
I almost wonder if we should put those 2 events in different boxes. January 6th, the insurrectionists, what happened that day? And then, like you said, in the same breath, today is a great day. That however you feel about it, the American people spoke, and the party in power needs to step aside and peacefully transfer power to the people that they most vehemently disagree with. The transfer is more important than the win.
Correct. That's what marks our democracy for the most part, which is, you know, win or lose, we respect the results of the election. And here we respect that Donald Trump won the presidential election, and we are going to, you know, make sure that there is a an orderly transition, which is essential for the American people, for their national and economic security, as well as for other reasons.
What's the agenda then for the Democrat Party? I remember when Barack Obama got elected the first time, Mitch McConnell said something like, our job one is going to be to block everything Barack Obama wants to do. I hope that that's not the agenda for this Congress, or at least for the Democrat side.
No, it can't be. Look, the American people elected us to get their business done. And I think, you know, I personally will support Donald Trump wherever I can, but oppose him where I must. And in the bucket of things where we can work together include, you know, improving our competitiveness as a country, lowering the cost of living for Americans, whether it's on, you know, prescription drugs or the cost of education or housing, or fixing our border and immigration system. And I was glad to see that Donald Trump was supportive of the H-1B program, for instance, which is a high-skilled visa program that so many, you know, countless companies as well as people rely upon. So those are areas where, you know, we can work together. And in the actions where, you know, I'm going to oppose him is if he puts in place, for instance, a Muslim ban, the same way he did, you know, 4 years ago in the first week of his administration. But hopefully we can kind of work together more than, you know, work at cross purposes.
I suppose the Democrat Party needs to do a little navel gazing here. I know they are. Figure out what went wrong just from a political standpoint. If you wanted to win, why didn't you? And I think some of the writing is on the wall. People came to believe that the economy wasn't good enough, quick enough. They are nervous about immigration issues. They're upset about the cost of living. And it doesn't seem like the Democratic Party either understood that or offered realistic explanations or alternatives. What is your thought about all that?
I agree with what you said. I think that it's one thing to talk about inflation going down, but really, I think what, you know, my constituents tell me repeatedly is that the cost of living now versus before the pandemic, let's say, is so much higher. It's about, you know, 20% roughly for staple items like groceries, for gas, for housing. And so I think what we have to work on right now is an agenda of lowering the costs associated with these types of staple items of living, and making sure that, you know, even at the same time that, you know, we're talking about other matters, which are extremely important, that we do everything we can to make, you know, make housing and healthcare and education and other items more affordable.
Congressman, I don't like much Elon Musk, and Vivek Ramaswamy makes my head spin. But I think plenty of us like the idea of cutting the cost of government. And if $2 trillion is too ambitious, I just wonder, though, how much you're willing to cooperate with whatever efforts come out of their committee or the White House to cut spending, to make it a more sensible budget and spending plan.
I think it's a great idea to try to, for instance, use technology to make the delivery of government services more efficient, to do whatever we can to reduce the cost of government and to cut out waste and excessive spending. I agree with that. However, if the goal here is, for instance, to cut Social Security or Medicare, for instance, which some of my colleagues on the other side repeatedly bring up, or to, you know, for instance, cut Obamacare, which in the last administration, I think we must have voted I'm not kidding, more than 50 times on their measures to do. That's not going to work if that's what they're trying to do in the name of government efficiency.
Do you have an idea as to what will?
I think, are you asking me what I think would be good ideas in terms of how to cut government spending?
Well, I think we could tweak Social Security with the cap, but yeah, sure. If we can't touch those sacred cows, then how are we ever going to rein in spending?
Well, I'll give you one example, which is, to me, a no-brainer, which we started to do under this administration, which is, for instance, negotiate the price of prescription drugs that we pay for under Medicare. Just the negotiation of the first tranche of drugs under the Inflation Reduction Act is going to result in $100 billion of lower spending on these drugs under Medicare over the next 10 years, which is a big deal. If we could expand that list dramatically and then also do the same for private sector spending on these drugs, that would save not only the government but also families, untold
right.
billions. That's just an example. Another area where we have to save is, for instance, on military spending. This is an area that I care deeply about, in part because I believe that we have to improve our deterrence with regard to, for instance, the Chinese Communist Party and deterring conflict. But right now we're misdirecting certain dollars in certain areas when we should be deploying those resources elsewhere in improving our deterrence and reducing costs.
On that, I'll
have
to.
Those are just a couple examples.
End this conversation. But good luck to you on all of those efforts. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy in the House today for the certification. Thanks for your time today, Congressman.
Thank you. And go Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy for us to say now.